All right, it's a crossover edition of Locked On Warriors. I'll be joined by Ben Beacon, the host of Locked On Wolves. We are going to go back and regrade the D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins trade. It's all coming up.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A crossover edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group and host of Locked On Warriors, here with Ben Beacon of Locked On Wolves. And the Warriors and the Timberwolves are playing twice this week. And so we thought we could take some time here to revisit the D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins trade. Ben, I know that D'Lo has been sidelined recently. He's got a quad contusion. The Wolves are out to a tough start, obviously, this year. But how do they view the deal right now, almost a year since having made it last February?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously still really early, and as crazy as this is, and I don't know if non-Timberwolves fans realize this, but D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns have played five games together. We're over 11 months from this trade, but a combination of Towns' injuries last year, some nagging injuries here and there to D'Lo, they've shared the court for five games. So from a, you know, strictly from an on-court impact perspective, it's really hard to evaluate still. The Wolves are 2-3 in those games. D'Lo and Towns have the offensive chemistry you would expect them to have. Their games are really, they mesh really well. There's a reason why, besides their friendship, that the Wolves wanted to get a point guard that could shoot and create his own shot, and also a really good passer who can create for Towns. And at this stage, that pairing seems to be working well. The question, I think we'll get into this later, is of course the deal itself and the assets given up and how Wiggins is doing in Golden State. And of course, that's the way that a lot of people are going to view this trade. But in terms of on-court chemistry, the jury is still very much out because we just don't know. They've played five games, but so far so good when they've been on the court together. As you alluded to, though, the Wolves are 4-12 at this stage in the season. So, they need Towns to get back on the court to fully evaluate things.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that things are still so much on hold, and you're absolutely right. I wrote that about that today, that they have only seen their kind of pairing, right, their nucleus of Towns and Russell, five games together total. And if you're the Warriors, it was a little similar last year, right, because Andrew Wiggins got traded there, and he only had played one game with Steph Curry before the season was cut short. And so there was a lot going into this offseason. It was very similar. It was up in the air. Is Wiggins going to be able to play alongside Steph Curry? Can he kind of settle into more of an auxiliary role as opposed to sort of being the man with the ball all the time like he was in Minnesota for so much of his tenure there? And now that we're 17 games through the season, it does feel like Warriors fans, at least, and the Warriors themselves, I should say, feel really confident about what it is that Andrew Wiggins is doing with the Warriors right now and sort of the role that he's settling into, very much a supplementary role, cutting off the ball, trying to hit open shots. He's never been more open for these three-point shots. It's not a coincidence that he's shooting a career high percentage from three-point range at almost a little bit more than 40% on five attempts per game. And then the defense has just been a revelation. I know that you know this, that Andrew Wiggins kind of developed a reputation for being a bad defender, and I think that a lot of people who cover the Warriors kind of poo-poo the reputation as a narrative, and I'm like, no, he earned that reputation. He was a bad defender for a lot of his tenure in Minnesota, but now he's just been afforded, I suppose, this opportunity to kind of, resuscitate his own career and kind of rebrand himself in a way, and now it feels like the Warriors kind of very much know exactly what this is going to be, while the Timberwolves are still a little bit in a holding pattern.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and you're right. You're spot on about Wiggins. I mean, he certainly showed flashes. Everybody knows he's always had the tools, the physical skill set to be a good defender. It's the awareness. Can he play within the team concept? He would go through stretches where he was gambling too much. To me, watching Wiggins this year, the three-point percentage is impressive, and I certainly buy that is something to do with the scheme he's playing in and the talent that, namely Steph Curry, helping him get those open shots. That may come back down to earth a little bit. I mean, he had one season above league average, I think, prior to this. But the block rate, to me, is what's most impressive in watching his defensive activity. Just in the game against the Wolves on Monday, he had three blocks and three steals. And that's not the sort of game that Timberwolves fans saw very often from Andrew Wiggins. And certainly I buy coaching, I buy culture. There's lots of reasons why that might be true. Warriors fans should understand Timberwolves fans' skepticism for, you know, a dozen or, you know, 15 games or so of Wiggins playing extremely well for Golden State. He had those stretches of 15 games in Minnesota where it was like, oh man, even the beginning of last year when the Wolves started 10-8, Wiggins was great. He was playing really, really well over the first, you know, 15, 20 games. And then things kind of cratered for him in December and January. So I certainly would buy that he is playing better this year in Golden State. And I definitely agree with your premise that, you know, having less weight on his shoulders is going to make all the difference. And on the D'Angelo Russell front in Minnesota, we've only seen him play. I mean, he's played many games now in Wolves uniform, you know, 14 games last year when Towns was out. And then this year with Towns, a few games, but then without him, I think he's also played 14 games this year, 15 games maybe. And he just isn't the same player when he's the 1A guy to rely on. I mean, obviously he helped the Brooklyn Nets get to the playoffs a couple of years ago. We saw best case D'Angelo Russell that year, which still, by the way, I think is better than any individual season that Wiggins has put together. But the problem is, you know, in a vacuum, you could argue D'Angelo Russell is the better player still. But he should not be the best player on a playoff team. Same with Andrew Wiggins. And without Towns on the floor, Russell's weaknesses are a lot more obvious. And that's been one of the reasons why some Wolves fans are already kind of getting a little bit of buyer's remorse, I think, is just because Russell by himself is very ball dominant, not getting others involved. And without a talent like Towns alongside him, it's much less attractive to have D'Angelo Russell on your team. And that's why I say, you know, get back to me in a couple months and hopefully I'll have a much better sense if Towns can get back on the floor.
Yeah, I think that it's smart to withhold judgment, not only because of the Russell, you know, having not played very much with Towns, but like you said, it's not been that much of a sample size even for Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, played 17 games this year, almost 18 points per game, a little bit more than 2 assists per game, but the blocks, the steals are all up and all these things. Rebounds are up for him too. But again, it's a small sample. You want to see him put the whole season together. And I think the foundation is there, right? There is no excuse for him not to. And I remain bullish on Andrew Wiggins. But I do agree with you, and I said this when they made the trade, D'Angelo Russell is the better player in a vacuum. I don't even think that was arguable when they made the trade, and I would probably still agree with you that D'Lo is the better player in a vacuum just because of what he can provide offensively. Watching him last year, there were so many empty calorie games with him, but it's not completely fair to put that on him because the roster was not very talented. They were without Klay. They were without Steph. Draymond Green was in and out of the lineup when we was playing. He was sort of coasting. There's obviously rebuilding after Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and all these guys leave. And so D'Angelo Russell kind of had to just go out there and be like, I don't know, I guess I'll just shoot the ball every time. And that kind of feels like what he's had to do in Minnesota. And I think he's played 14 games so far, and they've lost 11 of them. The production has been there, but it's not been, you know, huge. I think he's averaging a little bit more than 20 points per game. But, you know, you'd like to see at some point D'Angelo Russell turn the corner and start playing a little bit more winning basketball. And that was the knock against Wiggins too, right? Yep. And I guess the difference right now is that the Warriors have been healthy. The Timberwolves have not been healthy. The Warriors obviously have Steph Curry. The Timberwolves don't have Steph Curry. So that's helpful. But, you know, I think that Wiggins has just sort of found a better position for himself where D'Lo, like we've said already, we're not really sure if this is the best possible situation for him. I want to talk about how to build around D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins next, but first, let's talk about betonline.ag. The Super Bowl is a couple of weeks away, and it is the holiday for sports betting. There's only one place that has you covered, one place I trust. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. I love the Super Bowl. I love betting on the Super Bowl. And it's the best way to really just get invested in the game. Maybe you don't really know much about football in general. It doesn't matter. At betonline.ag, they have a ton of prop bets from, is it going to be heads or tails in the coin toss? How long will the national anthem go? All these sort of things. Take you, some buddies, put a group together, put some money on there, and compete that way. And maybe when you can't do a traditional Super Bowl party. There's plenty of things for you to do over at betonline.ag, from prop bets to the money line to over-unders to the spread. You can bet it all right there. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. I do want to talk about how you build around D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns and just sort of what Gerson Rosas is doing. What is the vision right now in Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the Wolves, at least publicly, are saying that they have their two, right? Their big two stars are going to build around Towns, obviously, being the superstar and Russell the complimentary star. And as I said, their offensive games mesh really well. The knock on both of those guys, you know, Russell has a bit of the empty calorie thing that you mentioned as one of the knocks on him. But the main thing for him is defensively. He's not a very good defender. Everybody knows that. And to this point in his career, Towns hasn't been either. Now, Towns has only played in four games this year, but in those four games, it's been a night and day difference defensively for Towns. And I think the Wolves were banking, they must have been, they were banking on Towns to improve defensively. And what you need from Russell is effort. He's never going to be a plus defender, but if he could be, you know, a slightly below average defender and Towns can be a good defender, then all you've got to do is find, you know, some shooters to kind of plug in around those guys. The big thing for Gerson Rosas and the Timberwolves front office and the coaching staff is trying to find players that are versatile, that are switchable. You know, they went into the season basically without a true starting power forward on the roster. They overpaid Juancho Hernan Gomez in restricted free agency. He's getting an average of $7 million a year over the next 3 years if he gets his option picked up. And he hasn't played well. Now he's on the COVID list. And on a playoff team, he's probably not a starting four. He's probably more of a rotational big. And the Wolves were going to hand him the starting job, but he was so bad in preseason and in training camp that they actually started Jake Lehman at the four, which, you know, Jake Lehman can play the four in stretches, but he's not, again, not the starting four in a playoff team. So the Wolves are searching for, you know, what that proverbial third star, or at least somebody who can add a little bit of a defensive edge and also score. They just don't have very many two-way players right now. You know, Josh Okogie's all defense, no offense. Jarrett Culver is supposed to be a two-way player, but to this point in a year plus in his career, he's mostly defense and very little offense. Malik Beasley is trying a little bit more on defense this year, which is great, but to this point he's all offense and very little defense. They don't have very many guys that can do more than one thing and also be switchable defenders. And that's the problem, is either the lineup has no defenders on the floor or they don't have floor spacers. You know, like you look at the Timberwolves starting lineup last night against Golden State on Monday, and there just isn't enough shooting. Malik Beasley's their only plus shooter. Naz Reid is an okay outside shooter, but he's not going to live out there. Jared Vanderbilt can't stretch the floor. Ricky Rubio is an average at best three-point shooter. Josh Okogie, below average three-point shooter. And then you put in a unit with a bunch of shooters and you don't have enough defense. So the Wolves are still searching for best case scenario. And Gerson Rosas, of course, comes from Houston and the Daryl Morey school, thinking of, you know, always big game hunting. He's trying to find that third star. In the meantime, he's kind of trying to find all these movable assets that he can plug in and have enough defense and enough, you know, some shooting here, some defense there to make it work. To this point, it just hasn't. And so the path is still pretty unclear. And, you know, a year ago, we all knew that the Timberwolves were trying to get D'Angelo Russell. They were still desperately trying to acquire him. And now it's anyone's guess what the next move is, but you can bet that Rosas is trying to, you know, going to try and cobble some of these pieces together to find a true third star. And you know, that's gotta be the next move. And it could come at any time. I mean, I just don't know that they have enough assets. They've already traded the picks for next year. You know, do they have enough assets to make another splash? You know, time will tell. And that's why you need D'Angelo Russell to at least put up, you know, an effort defensively to be a true star caliber player.
Yeah, isn't the template the Denver Nuggets?
Yeah.
You build around, for Denver, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and you just surround them with guys who can defend and make three-pointers. That's the template. Mm-hmm. I don't think the NBA is moving in such a way offensively that I think you can kind of get away with your two star players, right? Your top two not being elite defenders. And look, Jokic has gotten so much better on defense than versus early in his career. And I think that Towns obviously, you know, has the talent to get good defensively. I'm not saying he can't. And if D'Angelo Russell just tries a little bit harder the way that Jamal Murray has, you know, Jamal Murray is still undersized. D'Angelo Russell being undersized is not an issue for him. He's a really big starting point guard. But if he puts in a little bit more effort there, you don't need him to be all NBA, right? You just need him to be a little bit better than maybe one of the worst point guards defensively in the league. Yep. And like Denver did with their big two, you just surround them with stars, and then eventually maybe you find a Michael Porter Jr. or whatever, or you start grouping some of these assets together and make that big third star move like you were talking about.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean, Denver is the I mean, they're also a medium sized market. They didn't do much in free agency. Paul Millsap, I think, is the biggest free agent piece they've found. They've drafted well. They've gotten second rounders like Monty Morris and they've Jared Vanderbilt was maybe not so coincidentally the Wolves ended up with Malik Beasley, Hernan Gomez, and Jared Vanderbilt from Denver in that four team trade last year when they sent out Robert Covington because the Nuggets had too much talent. They weren't going to be able to extend Malik Beasley and give him minutes. They weren't going to be able to afford to keep Hernan Gomez. They were just trying to get assets for those players on the way out the door, and that's exactly the model the Wolves have to try and follow. And there's, Jokic and Towns obviously have different games, but they're in that same conversation in terms of the league's best big men, certainly. And they both have some shortcomings defensively. And that's exactly right. And everybody saw what Jamal Murray can do in the playoffs last year in the bubble. And that's what the Wolves are hoping they can get from D'Angelo Russell. So I certainly think that that's the direction they're trying to head, as they build out the roster.
Right. And for Golden State, it's pretty clear. I mean, they're following sort of their own template, right? If the Timberwolves are following the Denver Nuggets template, the Warriors are just following their own template from maybe not the Kevin Durant years, but probably previous to those Kevin Durant years where I don't know that Andrew Wiggins is Harrison Barnes of this group. I think he's probably more Andre Iguodala. Yeah. When this roster is actualized, because he's a good ball handler, because he defends more perimeter oriented players than Harrison Barnes, who kind of played more, 3-4, where Wiggins is guarding more 3-2s and even some ones in some instances. I think you find that guy there who, similar pedigree too to Andre Iguodala. Both of them are insane athletes. Wiggins is probably a better athlete than Iguodala ever was. But that's only because Wiggins is such an incredible athlete. Both were tasked to do a whole lot more than they probably should have been tasked to do. And then they find themselves in a situation where they're asked to do a little bit less and they're able to, quote unquote, star in their role. Right. And so I think for the Warriors, you've got Steph. When Klay Thompson gets back next year, it's pretty easy to see how that lineup is going to shape up. You've got Steph, Klay, and then you've got Wiggins, Draymond Green, and presumably James Wiseman will get back into the starting lineup by next year, right? That's the long-term look of what this roster is going to be. And you can sort of mix it up from there, but for the Warriors, they kind of know exactly what their core is going to be. And as far as building around that group, it's just about supplementing guys, right? Getting just contributions from the bench, finding the right rotations, finding the chemistry that eventually should click. It just feels like the road for the Warriors is a little bit easier. Which kind of leads me to the final part of this trade, right? We could talk about Wiggins and D'Lo all we want one for one, but it wasn't a one for one deal. The Warriors also sent a couple of guys, Omari Spellman and Jacob Evans. None of those guys made the Timberwolves roster, and I can't blame them for that. But the draft pick.
That's what we're going to talk about next, but first,
let's talk about Built Bar. It's a new year, and while I'm not really a resolution guy, I do like to lock in my diet at the start of each year, especially after what I ate during the holidays. That's what makes Built Bars so perfect. They satisfy my hunger while I'm busy at work, they taste great, and they work perfectly with my low-carb, low-sugar diet. With 18 amazing flavors, like salted caramel, lemon almond cheesecake, and peanut butter brownie, Built Bars are 100% covered in real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great if you're starting a keto diet in 2021. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we tragically lost Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe Bryant's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories that you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time stars. So the draft pick, top three protected in 2021. As we sit here and talk right now, Ben, the Timberwolves have the second worst record in the league. 40.1% chance if the lottery were held right now that they would end up with a top three pick, which means almost a 60% chance that the Warriors would end up getting their pick, regardless of where it fell. I think right now it's locked for the top five or six right now. This would be a disaster, right? If the Warriors ended up getting the number four pick in Minnesota, for example, and Minnesota punted on what is a pretty loaded draft class.
Yeah, it absolutely would be. I don't think there's any other way to put that. I mean, it's not even really the wild card. That's the biggest piece of this trade, because we could argue all day about who's the better player in a vacuum, and we talked a little bit about it already. But either way, it's close, right? Even if you decide it's Russell or you decide it's Wiggins, but the pick is beyond the great equalizer. Actually, it's two picks, right? I mean, I think it was the first and the second, which I think the Warriors turned around and traded, if I'm not mistaken. But the Wolves...
That's right. It helped them get Kelly Oubre, yeah. Which has been a spot-on move. So
yeah, and I mean, that's likely going to be a top, five pick in the second round. So the Wolves have zero picks right. In what's expected to be the best draft in years. And certainly they weren't expecting to be this bad this year. They weren't expecting to have Towns re-injure his wrist, or I guess have a different wrist injury to the same wrist, and then also get COVID and play in four of the first 16 games. And I think if he'd been playing, you're looking at a 500 team, and maybe they're a borderline 9 or 10 seed in the West for the play-in games. And you're looking at like a 15, 16 pick in the draft. Not great, but not a huge deal, especially if you feel good about D'Angelo Russell. And this is probably the worst case scenario for the Timberwolves. Obviously, there's still a little bit of a chance to pull out of this, season opening tailspin that they're in. But I mean, that's also, you can't even sell hope to the fan base at that point. If you don't have any picks for the next year, there's not much in the way of cap space either. The Wolves actually had to give up a couple of future picks to get off of Spellman and Evans and get Ed Davis, who they're paying a little over $5 million, and he's been fine, but at this point in his career he's a fifth big basically. And so the asset management for Gerson Rosas early on in his tenure was really good, and now he found Naz Reid as an undrafted free agent. Jordan McLaughlin, who had a great game against Golden State, he's done really good at the fringes of the roster, but outside of the Russell acquisition and the fringes of the roster, there hasn't been much else to write home about. Obviously Beasley's looking really good on the extension, but now all of a sudden, if you finish this year as a bottom, three or four team in the league again, with no picks to sell to the fan bases, hey, we've got, Cade Cunningham or whoever coming in here next year. It's not a good look. And Golden State comes out looking like geniuses, especially if how Wiggins has played in the first 16 games. If he does that over the course of the season, then it's easy to say Golden State won this trade.
I think we're already at that point, only because this is going to be a really tough hole for Minnesota to climb out of, man. I mean, that record, it's going to be really tough to even make it to a play-in yep. game at this point in the Western Conference. And that is already now the story of this upcoming draft lottery. This Minnesota pick, if it ends up top three, crisis averted, right? Obviously, crisis averted. You're going to have a top three pick in a loaded draft, and at that point, the pick in 2022 becomes unprotected, but who gives a damn?
Right.
You got the top three pick in 2021. There are going to be some clenched cheeks in a room in Minnesota when those ping pong balls are moving. It is by far the biggest story of the lottery. In San Francisco, with the Warriors watching that pick, they are going to be desperately rooting for that top three pick, because that they want to look like geniuses too. Joe Lacob has made a career off of trying to look like a genius. Yep. And so, it's the drama is so enticing just as an NBA fan. It is so incredible. But it sounds like you and I are on the same page with this trade. At least for now, the edge goes to the Warriors
yep.
at this point. And it is, and I think you make a really astute point. Had the Timberwolves done what it is that they thought they could have done, and probably could have done, realistically, had it not been from, the season from hell to start this season, this probably looks not nearly as bad. Even in a really good draft, if it meant getting off of the Andrew Wiggins contract because he just wasn't working out in Minnesota, getting your point guard of the future in D'Angelo Russell, getting the guy who you've always wanted to pair with Karl Anthony Towns in the first place, and all it costs you is a second-round pick and a first-round pick in the middle of the first round, you do that, probably 9 times out of 10, right? I still think you make that trade in hindsight, maybe Minnesota, the only gripe you would have, right? The only regret is, man, maybe we should have protected that thing. We really should have fought for those higher protections. But it's so hard to do that revisionist history stuff.
Yeah, and one last point on the D'Lo fit in Minnesota. I mean, it's also it'll be interesting to see what Malik Beasley ends up being. I mean, he's still only 24. So far this year, he's been, I mean, if the Wolves were any better, he'd probably be getting some all-star chatter. I mean, he's been that good. He shot the ball really well. He's averaging, 19.6 points a game, almost 38% from three on seven threes a game. He's been really good. He's improved defensively. And there were a lot of people that scoffed at his 4 years, $60 million deal in restricted free agency. And I actually didn't think it was terrible. I mean, based on what he did in, you know, the Nuggets rotation 2 years ago when he had minutes, and then once he joined the Timberwolves, the final 14 games of last year. So you're looking at Beasley at roughly half the cost of Wiggins, and I believe the same amount of years, maybe one more year, but there's a team option at the end of the deal. And, you know, it's obviously there were other assets involved, and you know, it's certainly not a one-for-one or anything, but you look at if Towns was healthy and you feel like Russell and Towns are a great fit, and Beasley is half the cost of Wiggins, he's providing that offensive production. You know, he's not the defender that Wiggins has been for the Warriors, certainly. And so you could make that argument, you know, compare the two players together. They're very different players. But I believe with the way the Wolves are trying to play and the pace they're trying to play at and the emphasis on three-point shooting, to this point in his career, Wiggins wasn't a very good three-point shooter. You know, the Wolves would take Beasley at half the salary of Wiggins 9 times out of 10, I think. The big thing, again, it all goes back to that draft pick. Because if you assume that Towns, Russell, and Beasley work together when they're healthy and you buy that you can fill out the rest of the roster with defenders and enough shooters, then the Wolves are actually not in a bad spot. It's just, we just don't know because of the Towns absence. And then also the pick that's looming over their heads. But I think Beasley is the name that kind of gets forgotten in this discussion about how these teams are being built.
100%. And look, when we say that the Warriors are winning this trade, that is an active verb, right? I think that this is a race, to use a metaphor. The Warriors are several laps ahead right now than the Timberwolves, but it'll be interesting, I guess, to revisit this thing a year from now, because this kind of trade could potentially have ripple effects for several years. This was a deal that probably dramatically changed the direction of not one, but two franchises that are trying to compete right now. Ben, always great talking to you, man. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, Wes. Thank you.
Thanks again to Ben Beacon for joining the show. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You could send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.